Now hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So we hear today the first two of three stories of the lost and found parables. And if we look at the literature of the Bible, we see that the first two set up the third. So we'll talk a little bit about the third as well. These happen in the context of Jesus coming under the scrutiny of the scribes and the Pharisees, who said he's eating with those people, with tax collectors, with sinners, with people who just aren't as righteous as us. And so Jesus turns and he tells this parable not to the sinners and the tax collectors, but to those who think they're righteous, to the scribes and the Pharisees. And as we look at what a parable does, a parable invites us to look at ourselves, to look at God, and to see where we are lacking. So as we look at these two lost and found stories, the lost sheep and the lost coin, where should the Pharisees and the scribes see themselves? Well, obviously, they're not the lost. The lost are the sinners and the tax collectors with whom Jesus is eating. Perhaps they're those that remain, the 99 and the 9. Or perhaps if we resist the temptation to make the shepherd and the woman God, the Pharisees and the scribes are those who are responsible. They have placed themselves as responsible for a community. And these parables emphasize the value of community. And community incomplete is not truly community. The 100 sheep are incomplete without the one. The 10 coins are incomplete without the one. They're not 10, they're 9. And as we look at the next parable, the parable that we might know as the prodigal son, but I think of as the parable of the lost sons, the two are incomplete without either one. And I submit to you that the body of Christ is incomplete without all of us. So I think this parable, these parables, this series of three lost and found parables, is a message to the Pharisees and the scribes about their role in leadership. Leadership of the community of the people of God. And leadership is not about deciding who is in and who is out, which is what they've been doing. They've been saying, "We're in, we're part of the community, and you're out, you're not." Jesus challenges that. He says, leadership in the community of God is about restoration of the community of God in the image of God. Leadership is about restoration of the community of God in the image of God. And this type of community must be restorative, redemptive, and transforming. It's not a come as you are, necessarily. It's a come as God is community. It's not a stay where you are and be lost. It's a come and be found community. There's a call to repentance in the community of God. A call to repentance of the lost and of the found, as we'll see. This call to repentance, this turning from being lost to being found, of the sheep returning, the lost sheep returning to complete the 100, the lost coin returning, both sons returning. We see this in the psalm that we read, the beautiful Psalm 51, the psalm of deep repentance. As David has been lost, he has had an affair with Bathsheba. He has conspired to murder her husband, Uriah. And Nathan the prophet is sent from God to the one who is lost, to David. And he calls him gently to repentance and a plea to transformation. And David, responding to this praise, this beautiful psalm, and he appeals to the loving kindness of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. He appeals to the holiness of God. Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, and I shall be clean indeed. And he appeals to the community of God. And I shall teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Community, true community, the community that God calls us to, must be both holy and inclusive. It must be this difficult type of community that honors the holiness of God and includes all those who God has called to be transformed. We see that this is a difficult type of community as we come to this third parable, the parable of the lost sons. You remember the story, the younger son comes to his father and says, Father, I want half of my inheritance. I want what is mine. He goes to a foreign land. He squanders it on wild living. And he ends up in the pigsty. He says, even the servants of my father's house have a better life than this. I will return and say to my father, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but let me serve in your household as a servant. And as he comes back, his father sees him a long distance off and runs to greet him. And before the younger son can even say anything, he calls to his servants and says, bring a fine robe and a signet ring, for the one who is lost has returned. And he throws a big party. And the second son grumbles and complains, will not go into the house. The father comes and searches for the older son who's not a part of the party. He comes and he finds him and he says, come in to the household, for the one who I thought was dead is alive. And it's right that we rejoice. And the older brother says, how can you welcome him back? And excludes himself from the party. His father calls him to repent from his self-righteousness and return to the fullness of community. And the story ends. We don't know. It's the open-ended part of the story that invites those who think they're righteous, the scribes and the Pharisees, to join in the rejoicing of heaven. For I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Those who remain are called to rejoice with those who return. So if we look at the structure of these lost and found stories, perhaps we can learn something about ourselves. The first key is noticing something is missing. Noticing the incompleteness of community. The shepherd notices that a sheep is lost. The woman notices that a coin is lost. The father notices that the older son is not in the party. And there's a searching. Where is that lost person? Where is that lost sheep or that lost coin? And in finding, there's a returning, a bringing back into community, a call to turn around and come back, a call to repent and rejoin. And then there is rejoicing, great, extravagant, maybe even prodigal rejoicing. Because if we stop and think about this, the party that the shepherd has for all his neighbors, as he said, come and rejoice with me. For the one that was lost is found. I wonder what he served at that party. Perhaps lamb chops and mutton stew. And the woman who found the coin calls her neighbors together, says, come, rejoice with me. How did she pay for that party? Perhaps with even more money than the coin that she had found. But this prodigal rejoicing, this rejoicing that is self-sacrificial, is not something that is lost, but it's a joining in the rejoicing of heaven. A taste of heaven here on earth as we rejoice together with extravagance, perhaps even feasting on the Son of God. So what about us? Where do we fit in this story? I think we've all been tempted to see ourselves as the lost sheep or the lost coin, see God as the owner coming and redeeming us. Perhaps we've seen ourselves as the prodigal son who has gone and squandered everything and come back and been asked to rejoin the community. Perhaps we've even seen ourselves as the older son. Perhaps we've seen ourselves as the 99, as we glared and said, why did the shepherd leave me alone to go after the one? Doesn't that seem inefficient and unloving? But I'd submit to you today that as the people who came to church this morning, we have more in common with the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones who are part of the community of God, part of the righteous, than with the sinners and the tax collectors. We're called to take charge of our community, to notice what's missing, to search rather than condemn, to find rather than ignore, to bring back rather than leave lost, to welcome rather than reject, to rejoice instead of grumbling. But how do we do that? I think that's always the challenge to me. How do I invite people back into the community of God without it being about me, without it being about them? To invite them back so that it's about God and about us. So let's look back to the very beginning of the lesson. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. What drew the sinners and the tax collectors into the company of Jesus? What drew the sinners and the tax collectors into the company of Jesus? What drew you into the company of Jesus? Who looked for you and found you? I think we learn a little about this as we hear Paul write to Timothy, and I received mercy, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Community of Christ must be a community of mercy, overflowing with the grace of the Lord and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. not the faith that is in ourselves, not the shallow love that is for ourselves, but filled with mercy and grace, holy and inclusive. So what can we do? I think as we look at our Old Testament lesson, as we look at the people of Israel who have forgotten so soon the God who was with them, the God who carried them out of Egypt, this Moses that led us, we don't know where he is. He's been up on that mountain for a month or so. We don't know if he's coming back. So Aaron, since we don't have Moses as our God, make a God for us. And Aaron, capitulating to the will of the people, carries them away from the community of God, creates a golden calf and says, "Behold, here is your God who carried you out of Egypt." And God knows. He says, "Moses, get down there. The people that I have given to you have strayed from me. And now stand out of my way that I may destroy them." And Moses says, "No, Lord. No, remember the holiness of your name, the glory of your name. Remember your mercy and your loving kindness. And bring them back to you." We are called, first and foremost, to intercede. To stand before God and say, "Lord, you know your glory. You know your loving kindness. You know your holiness. Bring back, draw near to you those who are absent from us. And Lord, use me as you will, to speak or to remain silent, to go or to remain, but always, always to pray." We come, we celebrate, and we rejoice. For my friends, we have all been lost and found. And we come once again in our lostness and in our foundness to the celebration of the table, to the great feast that is ever in heaven and now is on earth. We come to the prodigal feast, to dine on the body and blood of the Son of the living God, who gives his life that we might have life. So we intercede, we celebrate, and then we go out. We go out in the great work of the gospel that is good news to the sheep, to the coin, and to the Son. The good news that says, come back into the community of God in love, in holiness, in mercy, and in great rejoicing. We go out in the great work of the gospel, noticing who is missing. We seek and we search. We invite them back into community. And we rejoice once more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.